Well, I'm certainly glad to be with you today. And I hope that frog left here with you, Roger, I hope it didn't stay for me. It was here last night, and I noticed it this morning. Oh, my. But whatever it is, you have to live with those things. That's what you do, and the Lord knows where we are, and we want to honor Him in what we do. I'm going to read in Mark chapter 10. I'm talking with you about the desires of God for His people. I began yesterday looking briefly at Psalm 81 and pointing out how much God wanted to do for Israel, but Israel would not let Him do it. You can kind of read that psalm in your own and see it. It's not a mysterious psalm, and it doesn't take hundreds of years of understanding. The Lord simply said, I wanted to feed you better, I wanted to protect you better, I wanted to keep you, but you would not let me do it. Israel, He said, we'll have nothing to do with you. And so they fell into judgment and missed the great blessings of God. And that, of course, was in the older economy. We're in a New Testament age, but God still has desires for us that we sometimes frustrate. And so I mentioned the other day that, first of all, out of John 10, He desires we would have a full life. But sometimes we frustrate that by getting attached to weak and beggarly things that mean more to us than the will of God. I emphasized also in 1 Peter 2 that the Lord's desire for us is that we live as people that were owned by God. And then last night I tried to work with a general concept that it's God's desire that we would live responsibly, looking at Romans 14 and the particular teachings that God gave us there. This morning in Mark 10, I'll read from verse 36 to 45 just to keep the context intact, a beautiful context and impressive for me. And He said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto Him, grant us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said to them, you know not what you ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto Him, we can. Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with all you shall be baptized. But to sit on my right hand with me, and the left hand is not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. And Jesus called them to Him and said to them, ye know they which are counted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever shall be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you shall be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And earlier in this chapter, when Jesus talked with this particular ruler and the individual who wanted to know about eternal life, the Lord summarized it all up with regard to His ministry in verse 21, when at the end of it He says, if you want to have treasure in heaven, come take up the cross and follow Me. I want to emphasize today, both for myself and for you too. You just happen to be incidentally here. But I want to emphasize for myself and you too, the desire of God is that we would be followers of His Son, that we would accept the leadership and direction of the Lord Jesus, and that our lives would be bound into following Him in the particular things He assigns and gives to us. There's a lot more to it than just a few words. It's really a big picture, I think. The passage in Mark has challenged me many times. He said, I didn't come to be ministered unto, I came to be ministered unto others. In Luke 22, He takes that theme up also. He said, I'm with you as one who serves, not as one who just wants to be served. And to those of us, He says, if you want to really be somebody in the kingdom of heaven, then follow Me. Follow Me. Put yourself in service to others and follow Me. Say we're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. We believe that He died for us. When we accept Him as our Savior, we're given eternal life, and that will never be taken from us. How glad I am for that. I didn't have to work to get saved. I don't have to work to stay saved. I took Jesus at His word, believed that He died for me, and was born in the family of God. And I stay in the family of God because His righteousness is imputed to me and a righteous line, and I'm God's child. I'm thankful for that. If you don't know the joy of knowing God and being saved, then you ought to talk with some of us about it this morning. You ought to make that decision today. You ought to look up to heaven and say, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I'll take the gift of life. I can't tell you exactly what to say. But to fall before God and let God's will be executed in your life through faith in Jesus is the most important thing there is. But when we know Him, we discover God has desires for us that are beautiful and meaningful. And in this particular passage, his desire is that we would accept the leadership of the Lord Jesus and follow him. If you want to track it in other passages, you can go back to Matthew 17 and the Mount of Transfiguration, where the voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And you can move into Luke 6, where the Lord is talking to his disciples, and he says to them, listen, he says, "If you call me Lord, why do you not do the things that I say?" And if you want to see it in a more personal way yet, you can go to John 13, where the Lord says, "You call me Lord and Master. If I then am your Lord and Master, you will follow me. You will do what I say." Forgive me for rambling over a bunch of scriptures, but they're in my mind and heart, and I say to myself, that's right, Tom. You have to accept and follow the leadership of the Lord Jesus. I've had bosses all of my life. Started out with me mother. Praise the Lord. Mother was a good mother. She was a very small woman. I was almost 12 pounds in weight when I was born. My mother did not weigh 90. She was a small woman, but she was a tough cookie. And directing people was in her line of life. And I had very few decisions to make at home. Mother kind of made them for me. And you say, well, what could you have done? I could have been shot. That's it. And I remember when she said I should join the Boy Scouts. I hated the thought of joining the Boy Scouts. I liked to come home, finish the milking and all that stuff, and read books. I didn't need any extracurricular life. I wanted to read books. Go up in the attic, go up and read books. But my mother said, you need a social life, you'll join the Boy Scouts. I had to walk 2.5 miles to where they met. But there was no arguing with mother. It was, and I could have just left home and run off to Missouri, I guess, but join the Boy Scouts. I thought it was one of those stupid things that ever happened. But a year later, when they had in the local town evangelistic meetings and had Scouts Night, I was with the Scouts, and there I heard the gospel, and then I trusted Jesus. And looking back over it, my mother didn't know the Lord till that night too, but looking back over it, I could see how God was working on us, just getting me into the Scouts. I didn't learn anything spiritual in the Scouts. I learned that you start a fire without matches by soaking your bricks in kerosene for several days before. And then you put it down and any heat will light the brick. You can light them. You can almost light it with your breath if you'd eaten hot pepper. So whatever the case, I did learn a few things in the Scouts. Didn't learn much about honor, I guess. But sitting with a Scout troop that night, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And I thanked the Lord many times for Mother and that particular director. But anyhow, I started with that. Then I went to school and got a lot of other things like that. And eventually I worked for a company. I worked for a long time, well, for a good many in and out years. Got the job when I was 15 because the war was on and the real men were being taken into the army. So I got a job part-time with a tree surgery company. I had a boss there who'd look and say, do this, do that. And he expected it to be done. And eventually, of course, you got a lot of teachers that were that way. And I got in the army and I got to be well bossed in the army. And I got promoted enough to where I could boss one or two people myself, very mildly. I'd say, would you please pick up that paper, you know, or something like that, very mildly. And then, of course, I got married. We'll not go any further in that particular account. In that particular account, the Lord has blessed us, and I'm happy for those things. But I've had to look over it all and say the real director of life has got to be the Lord Jesus. All of these other parties are temporal. They're here and they're gone. Mother died. And she died at a time when I needed a lot of advice, but she was gone. And I've joked again in the years since. I've joked and said, you know, I said to some lady here the other day when I said she should come in the door before me, and she said, you know, I said, you go in first. Because I said, my mother taught me that the lady should go first, and if you don't go in first, mother's ghost will rise right up off the floor and rebuke me for not being what she had taught. Those things are all kind of humorous, but it's not humorous to come to Jesus. The disciples came to him, and they wanted to know who could be the greatest, who could sit in his right hand, who could sit in his left, who could be the great leaders in the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord says, that isn't for me to tell you, that's something in the hand of God. But he said, I want you to know that if you want to be a leader, you've got to be a servant, first of all. And I, the Son of God, have come to minister unto others, and you need to do that too. And the Lord, through all of these passages, says the desire of God is that you would accept his leadership and follow him. And that's where we are today. It's nice when you have human authorities that guide you and direct you. Praise the Lord for those that give direction in a meeting and help in those things. But ultimately, the great leader is the Lord Jesus. We have to recognize him as Savior and bow before him as Lord. I'm not getting into the lordship argument, but I am going to say that we recognize him and we say Lord. And when you say Lord, you're recognizing the supreme master of the universe. And you're saying, in effect, You have the right to tell me anything you want to tell me. Now, the great directions are in the Word of God. There will be some private dealings with your life. There will be some private dealings with your life. All these people who went to France and studied for French and all those things were directed by God into some missionary activity. My wife studied French. I did too. Oh, yes. See, I'll be very good at it. We could look at the rest of the class and say, vous êtes fou. You're nuts. Poor French. We're still poor. When I tried to ask for accommodations in Montreal in French, the woman listened to me patiently for a minute and said, I speak English. Particular subject. It took my bad French to make her speak English. So whatever the case happens to go. But the Lord Jesus says it emphatically. He said, whoever is you is going to be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. Do you understand that? I'm so weary of leadership schools in the United States, I can't tell you. It's become a whipping boy of mine. I ought to get over it. But I'm just tired of them. I do think we need training for leaders and whatnot, but the leadership schools almost always miss the fact that the key to leadership is servanthood. They almost always miss it. They act like Jesus didn't say anything about it. And they describe different things that you do and different psychological tricks you try to pull on people and things that are both good and bad. But when I said to the fellow giving a big leadership school, I said, why don't you go back and see what Jesus said? He said, now listen, we're in the 20th century now. We're actually in the 21st, but we were in the 20th then. And he said, we have to put things in more modern. But I said, but Jesus said, who's going to be a leader? You've got to be a servant. And when you've learned to serve and serve under God, then you're qualified. But until that point, you may be academically trained and psychologically trained, but you're not really qualified. And that's what's wrong with a lot of our movements today. The people who direct them have never been servants. Well, that's beside the point. The point is God's desire is that we accept the leadership of His Son and follow Him. In this passage, first of all, in serving others. Serving others and ministering to them, helping them, whatever the case is, and not thinking about ourselves being tremendously important, serving others. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to minister, not to be ministered to. And if the Son of God, with all of His power and all of His authority, could humble Himself to wash the feet of the disciples, we ought to be able to humble ourselves to care for brothers and sisters and in a proper sense to serve them, in a proper sense. We had a simple wedding when Ruth and I were married. Simple people should have simple weddings. So we had a simple wedding. And we had our gathering to feed people after the wedding on the lawn of her mother and on the house. It didn't rain that day, so we had it. And you know what? We're the bride and groom. What were we doing? We were walking around serving cake and drinks and all kinds of legal drinks. Iced tea, slightly melted because the ice had melted, but whatever the case is. And a fellow said to me, he said, this is your wedding. You're not supposed to be giving out cake. I said, why not? Why not? I don't want all this cake left over anyway. Why should I not be serving? I was having a good time. I might tell you I had a very good time before it because I spent all the time before the wedding, up to within 2 minutes of ceremony, ushering people into their seats. And people would look at me and say, I thought you were getting married. What? You thought I was getting married? I had a great time. The people in Ruth's church really didn't know me very well, so they concluded she was marrying a madman and should get a lot of prayers for that particular thing. But I had a great time. And serving can be good along those particular lines. I will tell you that we ought to follow Him in serving. We ought to be willing to put our lives to the disposal and direction of others, not only in some giant Christian project, but on a day-by-day. My wife is signaling me that I'm talking too fast. I'm going to try to slow down. It's not that I have so much to say, it's that my tongue is nervous. And it's loose at both ends. And it just goes and goes and goes. But I feel it keenly. If the Lord Jesus could stoop and serve, we could do nothing better than that. The finest thing we can do is to accept His authority over us and follow His direction. And He says it pretty simply. To that rich man, He said, follow me. To His own disciples, He said, take a lesson from me and serve as I have served. So the concept is that God desires us to accept and follow the leadership of His Son. First of all, in serving others. Secondly, in accepting His appointment. We don't know the appointments fully. Who will sit at His right hand? Who will sit at His left hand? I think that that is a very difficult picture. It's a word picture given to us. When I think of the great throngs in heaven, and when I think of what a great thing it will be at the wedding, I'm amazed at those particular things. And I think there will be, it's hard to say it, but forgive me, it's not very theological. I think there will be scads and scads and scads of people saved by the blood of Christ. And you can't imagine one person wanting to sit at the prominent place and another person wanting the second most prominent place. You can't imagine it. But the Lord Jesus says that's not for us to discern here. That's in the mind of the Father. And He will appoint those places, whatever they happen to be. I've always been kind of amused at the passage in the scripture where He says, when you go into a feast, don't take the high place because somebody might come and tell you to get out of there. Somebody else should be there and you should take a lower place. So He says, take a lower place. And if they want to promote you, they can promote you. I believe that's right. That's why I always take a lower place. Actually, it's because I'm lame and can hardly get in time there to get in line for the higher place. So you have to rationalize the lower place to some degree. Someone said, why do you like to be the last in the food line? Well, there are two reasons. One is you don't have to worry about how much to take. If you're at the head of the food line, you've got to think about the others after you. But if you're at the end of it, you can just gobble freely. Don't you understand? No, I can see that you are people that do not have that sort of problems and that sort of thinking. Praise the Lord, there's some place where people think more squarely. But the Lord says, whatever your appointment is, that's where, He doesn't say it in so many words, but that's where it would be. And if He points you to a place of greatness, praise the Lord. But don't make that idea that you did it yourself. And if He gives you a lowly place, praise the Lord. But don't stand back like the fellow in Oliver Twist and say, I'm so meek and so humble. Don't do it. Accept what God gives. When I went into the army, I could hardly march because I was a farmer who took steps in 48-inch strides. I could hardly march. I was abused by the cadre because I didn't march well. I'd step on the fellow in front of me and step on the fellow behind me. And yeah, but going anything, I just had a terrible time. First few days were miserable. The Lord blessed me, and I can't tell you how, but the Lord blessed me. And when we got towards the end of my period, I was the field first sergeant for my company. I was the guy who stood out and yelled, forward march. I won't demonstrate it now, but I was the guy that yelled at and told them to start on their left foot and get going on a particular thing. Yes, yes. So I remember, though, I was standing in a line waiting for lunch with a bunch of guys. I was just a corporal at that time, but I'm standing in a bunch of lines and talking to two or three of my buddies, and the lieutenant came along and he said, Corporal, he said, aren't you supposed to eat at the head of the line with the first three graders? And I said, yes, sir. I mean, I said it after I saluted, and I said, yes, sir. I said, these are my friends, and I was just staying. And he said, Corporal, he said, you're supposed to eat with the first three graders. He said, if you want to stay with your friends, he said, perhaps we could arrange to remove that stripe from your arm. Did you get that? He'd hardly drawn a breath before I was at the first of the line with the first three graders. I jumped right away because my appointment was to be up there. And my staying back with my friends was denying the kind of privilege. It's a small privilege. Corporal is not like general, but it's a lot better than private, I'll tell you. So whatever the case is, I jumped at it. And I've learned in life since then that there's the way it has to go. Sometimes you take the position that's appointed and you're happy with it. And the Lord may appoint you to something spectacular. And in the providence of God, you may be in a position that nobody knows where you are. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't ask for the band and the crowd, and He didn't go and demean Himself either. He accepted the station given to Him. I love the verses that say, the will of God, Hebrews 10 in the Psalter, He said, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. And whatever that will included and took was His ideal and His example in life. So that we not only serve others as He did, but we accept the appointments that God gives as He appoints. It doesn't mean you can't improve yourself. It doesn't mean you can't want advancement. All of those things in the will of God may be yours. It does mean that wherever your station is, you're thankful for it. You may be elevated. You may be improved. Any number of things might happen, but you are thankful for where you are, and you're serving as well as you can. And if God moves you ahead, praise the Lord. And if He suddenly decides that you're over your head already, He moves you backwards, you thank the Lord for that too. I can only tell you that's how it goes. I hope the young man and the fellow who write the letter, I hope they cooperate well in that together. I love to write letters, but I'm not volunteering to write any for Joel or anybody else. We love Joel, and may they do well. But I've had those assignments in life, and somebody would say, I want the two of you to write a letter. I'd start writing, and the other fellow would say, oh, you can do it, Tom, and I wouldn't see him again. My letters weren't that great either, but I would write them just the same, and I would feel bitter in my soul that the other guy had dropped out. And the truth is, I had no right to feel bitter. I could have done my part. I said once, I'm just going to write one half of the page and leave the sentences broken. But of course, I didn't do that. I felt bitter about that. But the idea is that God desires us to accept the leadership of Jesus and to follow him in serving others and accepting the appointment he gives. And in the third place, hey, I've only got three today, not 10. In the third place, hearing his instruction. Hearing his instruction. Here the instruction takes with regard to their ministry and what they would be. Here his instruction tells them not to act like the Gentiles who push other people around just for the sake of their own prominence. Here his instruction is to be humble and to serve God. And if you want to be the chiefest, be the servant of all. Simple instruction. In John 13, his instruction is to wait on one another as he waited on us. That's the foot washing episode in John 13. And throughout the Gospels, Christ shows that attitude. When he served them at supper, he did it as a servant. But he was the Lord of all. And you know, I rationalize those things and say, well, sure, the Lord could do it. He could do it. It's hard for me to do it. It shouldn't be. The concept is to hear his instruction. This morning we had a meeting to remember the Lord Jesus. We use various titles for it. I still like the good old Greek term Eucharisto for the Eucharist, but in the Brethren Assemblies, you can almost get thrown out for saying Eucharist. What are the Brethren Assemblies? If you don't know, I shan't inform you today. They don't even like the word communion, but they use mystical terms, the morning meeting and various things. I just like to say we meet to remember the Lord Jesus. Why do we do it? Because he told us to do it. He didn't tell us what to call it, believe it or not. And when you counsel like this morning and you think of the prayers, our prayers this morning were at least made 80% in giving thanks for some aspect. Eucharist, that's what that is, giving thanks. The communion shows up later when you're shaking hands at the door. But the concept is that we hear the Lord, that we hear the Lord. I think I mentioned this the other day, but some of you weren't here, and those of you who were probably weren't listening. But anyhow, I was in the hospital last November. I was in there on two Sundays. Bad day to be in the hospital. I looked at the clock, and I saw that it was about 9:30, and I thought of the brothers and sisters gathered together at Grace Chapel, where I normally fellowship, and the joy they'd have in worshiping the Lord together. And suddenly I felt very bad for myself. I got a big pity party just right there for about 3 minutes. Just for about 3 minutes I laid there. And because I cry easily, I actually shed a few tears. Poor me, I thought. They're together remembering the Lord, and I'm stuck here in this dumb bed. But I only cried for about 3 minutes. And then I had that happy realization that the Lord Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And suddenly I realized that although I couldn't be at the meeting, the Lord was still with me. Now that doesn't become an excuse for staying home or going fishing on the Lord's Day, but it becomes a reality in the practice of life. He doesn't leave us. And so I was able to lean back on my pillow. I didn't have any bread or wine, but I was able to lean back on my pillow and say, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you, thank you. And I think that my meeting lasted longer than the meeting at the chapel did in that particular morning. And the following Sunday, I was even grumpier, but the Lord was even more blessed in those situations. I will tell you to hear his instruction. To hear his instruction about going out and witnessing. You shall be my witnesses. I know he said it in Acts to the early company. The thrust that was given up again and again through Paul's ministry in the scripture. The concept and those things. And I love to read in John 14, 15, and 16 how he tells us to pray to the Father. I believe the Father knows everything that's going to happen. I don't believe God is ignorant about anything. But the Lord still tells us to pray, to talk to him, to ask. And I find it to be a great blessing to do that too, because the Lord said to do it. And if any angel would say, why are you bothering God this morning, Tom Taylor? I'm asking him because I've been told to ask. And the instruction of the Lord Jesus goes into many other things. But it's really an attitude of life that counts. An attitude that says, Lord, what you have said is what I want my heart to do and how I want my life to bend. That's the desire of God for us, that we would accept the leadership of Christ and that we would honor that and that we would follow him. We're told in 1 Peter 2 about following his steps, the example thing. Sheldon wrote the book based on that, and the book has good points and weak points too, I think. But Peter doesn't have any weak points. He says that you should follow his steps as he set out for you in your dealing and work and relationship with others at the end of 1 Peter 2, because he says she's the great shepherd and bishop of your souls. And it can hardly be more authority than that to follow him. You know, sometimes we make the great decisions of life without consulting him. Sometimes. And sometimes the Lord in his blessing works with us. It's not fair for preachers to make rules for God, and I try not to do that. But more than once I've made some decision and then wondered if I made the right one and had to look to the Lord and say, Lord, if this is, you know, something like that. Following him is not a mystical experience where you see messages written on the wall of your bedroom so that you can read them while you're lying down. But following him is a matter of knowing the Scripture and obeying the Scripture and letting him by the Scripture and the Holy Spirit speak to us on particular matters. Among the old brethren in Germany years ago, the old order brethren, it was a mysterious thing. They would sit in quiet for 6 or 7 hours and pray that God would speak to them. I think that is not necessary, but I'm not going to criticize you if that's your way of doing it. My concept is that we study the Word. We pray over it. We talk to the Lord about it. And we say to the Lord Jesus, you're the leader of my life. You're my Lord. And I want your direction and guidance in this particular thing. And the Scripture guides us in an awful lot of things, but there are some places it doesn't. It doesn't. And so we work on it. As I told you the other day, or maybe 50 years ago I said it, I always wanted to be a teacher. When I was finishing the first of graduate schools, if you want to be a teacher and move up, you'll go to school for the rest of your life almost. But anyhow, I was just finishing my seminary program, and the president of the seminary invited me to take a long walk with him, and after this 3 or 4 mile walk, he could walk like a... Anyhow, I was worn out. But anyhow, after the walk, he said to me, would I like to stay next year and be like a teacher's assistant in the seminary faculty? I said, yes. I've been praying about teaching. I said, yes. He said, do you want to take a couple days to pray about it? I said, don't need to. I said, I've been praying about it. I actually was afraid that he'd take a couple days and pray about it and the Lord would change his mind. I thought that you had to strike while the iron was hot, don't you think? But I had been praying about it. And when the Lord gives you an opportunity in answering a prayer, you need to pounce on it. If you're praying to witness to somebody and suddenly you bump into them on a street, don't wait for the next day and hope. I can't make rules on that, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. When the Lord moves us by his word and by his spirit, the desire of God is that we be moved. You have to know how it goes. At the end of 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about Apollos, and he says he'll visit you when it's convenient. And some of my friends think Apollos was a slacker for that. I personally think what the Lord meant, that Apollos would get there when the Lord told him he ought to be there. But the Bible commentators argue over that, so I'll not try to settle it for you right here. I will say that yieldedness to the Lord and to his word, which is the proven text, is the key to a lot of blessing in life. And what's God's desire for us? That we would accept and follow the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be saved without accepting him as Savior, and I don't like to make distinctions along those things. I don't like to kick this cane either, but somehow it gets in the way of my feet. Yeah, I could have left it on the chair, but then I might not have been able to get back and get it. And it really destroys the meeting when the preacher has to fall and crawl across the platform. It leaves people with a bad sense of feeling for those things. So you just have to get it. I haven't had this problem for the last many months, but about 3 years ago, I had it worse. I had to do everything on a walker. And when I got to steps like this with my walker, I would sit down on the bottom step and back up, bottom, 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 and then somebody would hand me the walker on the platform and I could stand up again. So compared with what I was, I'm enormously more mobile today. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you, someone said, that's really stupid to back upstairs like that. And I said, that's how the Lord has shown me I can do it. And I would be an idiot to do otherwise. I thought once of lying on my stomach and swimming up the stairs, but I didn't. And the concept I'm saying here is that the desire of God is that we accept and follow the leadership of the Lord Jesus. How could anybody think that's wrong? Well, our flesh gets in the way. We determine we know more than he did. We're not happy with the appointments. We want to get something big for ourselves. And the next thing you know, he's the leader, but the followers are off somewhere in a grove worshiping an oak tree. It happens too often. But pray that it will not happen to us. That we'll know God's desire for us is to accept and follow the leadership of the Lord Jesus in the Word, in his guidance in life, in the example he sets, and in the teaching he gives. And we will be doing exactly what God wants us to do. And you have to believe that you're blessed in that capacity. Well, I'll tell no more stories today. I'll play no harmonica notes. I'll simply say thank you for being here. We'll pray, and a brother will lead us in a stanza of a hymn or maybe an opera from Switzerland. Never can tell. But we trust the Lord, and we trust that his desires for us will be met day by day. We pray then in this way. Dear Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, God, if there's anyone in our fellowship who doesn't know him as Savior, that today they'd turn to you and believe that he died for them. And we pray you'd help me and my friends, Lord, to see him as a great, great leader, our master, our Lord, and our hearts and attitudes to be bowed before him, to trust him and do his will. We give you thanks today. Pray that our lives will meet your desires. In Jesus' name, amen.